Welcome to Pastor Aggressive Podcast, real life, real faith, real talk. And today we've got some real talk for you. Actually, it's a topic I'm not really comfortable with, but I got so many notes. I got the receipts to back it up. I'm ready to talk about this. Well, At first, when we mentioned it, I was not ready to talk about it, but I think I'm good to go.
We brought a guest that will ease it out a little bit. You know, neither of us have the capability. I mean, me more than you, long hair, boobs.
Right.
We're going to be talking about women today in the church.
We are going to talk about women in the church. So we brought my wife, Tiffany, on, my beautiful wife, Tiffany.
Hello.
Glad she's on the podcast.
I paid him to say that.
The microphone is going to be kind of a visual distraction from her. You're not going to see her all the way. She is not a cyborg made up of microphone parts, but in the video, it's going to seem that way. I might be able to adjust that, but we'll figure that out as we go. One thing I wanted to mention, and I think this is important to mention, is that, like you said, we're going to be talking about women in the church, and neither one of us is a woman.
Shocker.
And so that's something we had to bring on. We had to bring on our woman friend to talk about. Like, what was it the other day when I said, you know, I've got a black friend or whatever. Yeah. This is our woman friend we're bringing on.
Your wife.
Yeah. I'll bring my wife on to talk about women in the church. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to get different perspectives. For sure.
She's particularly good on this topic because of her blog. Let us hear about your blog, Tiffany. It's amazing.
So I write a blog called myredeemedchaos.org, I think. And it is specifically for women of faith who need some weekly Bible time and maybe just a little bit deeper study than just reading it and walking away or a little bit...
He's going to ruin the podcast because Iris let him down, so it's okay. We're going to go with it because she couldn't. Yeah, it's going to ruin the whole thing. I love it.
Come here, buddy.
Shoki! That's what Kevin Smith, big podcaster guy, famous podcaster, he'd always yell at his dog on his
Kevin
podcast.
Smith was an actor, bro.
Yeah, and a director, but he was the first to really get the podcast thing going.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he had a podcast called Fat Man on Batman.
And
his dog Shecky was always in the background. You always hear her barking, and then you'd be like, "Shecky!" But this is gonna be awful. I'm glad the video is on me because you can see my rage and hear it.
I can't grab it.
I'm ready to shut this thing off and cancel the podcast forever at this point. I'm ready for it to be over with.
Anyway,
he needs to go upstairs for real.
Say bye.
While she gets Roger out of here, we're going to talk about the frustrations of owning pets.
Well, let's talk about that.
The frustration of having kids and all the other things that ruined your podcast.
Well, when I was in middle school, I had a dog. His name was Roderick, and he used to hump me, dude.
That's no
all good. The time, dude. All the time, and we had to get rid of him because he wouldn't stop humping me.
I think this is going to be one where you're going to make me throw out the video, honestly.
Why?
I don't know. It's just not working great. But, you know, we live with what we got.
We do.
Audio's fire, though.
Back to it. My podcast is written for women who would like to go a little bit deeper than just a daily verse or a really quick devotional. I do a Bible study once a week. And most of my blogs are based on the Bible study content that I share with them. But sometimes I do some one-offs on there that I really enjoy. So...
What are you focusing on? Is it Ruth? Is that
right? We actually just finished Ruth.
Sweet. So I did want to talk to you about Ruth a little bit. It's actually a book that I haven't really read. You know, I know some like sermon notes, I guess, or something like that from Ruth. You know, like gleaning and stuff like that. But what was your biggest takeaway from Ruth as a woman? I'd say
from a female perspective, yeah. Like, biggest takeaway that there's multiple. Can I share multiple?
Yes,
is that okay?
Please.
First, the book of Ruth is not about Ruth. Interesting enough.
Boaz.
No.
It's always about the man.
See, that's why we're talking today. No, it's actually about Naomi, the mother-in-law.
Okay.
From start to finish, about her loss, grief, and then going through that whole process. Second thing that I really, really recognized was that as a child of divorce, you come from a broken family, and the whole concept of kinsman redeemer was challenging to me, and not just like somebody that comes in and saves the day, but in the sense it is, and it kind of enlightened me to the fact that good stepdads,
yeah,
are like kinsmen redeemers. Yeah. I have a great stepdad, and he came in after my dad did some naughty things and like rebuilt our family back up.
Awesome.
And loved me as his own. So it's just, yeah. I look at Boaz as a modern day stepdad.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
And
more like an ancient stepdad. He was pre-stepdads.
He's pre-stepdads. Yeah. But can but you be like a stepdad? Cool
stepdad,
can you, like, he's the OG stepdad.
Like, but can you slaves, be a stepdad, dude, if you don't have kids, if there's no kids before it happens?
He's a step-husband.
Step-husband? Okay. Regardless, it just... That it kind of hit me that some men who come in and save a woman from a situation that's not good was more like a kinsman redeemer. Big takeaway number three is that Boaz is not the kinsman redeemer in this whole book.
Huh. Who mighteth it be?
Ruth's son that she has with Boaz.
I'm confused.
Okay. So... Kinsman Redeemer is the man that comes in and takes the family that's line has been lost, much like how Tamar, Judah's daughter-in-law, kept marrying men and they kept dying, right?
Yeah.
So Boaz took the role of Kinsman Redeemer to Ruth so that her husband's line could continue on, the one that died in Moab. But for Naomi, the Redeemer is the son of Ruth and Boaz. Because when Ruth and Boaz have their child, that son is the continuation of the line. The promised continuation of that. And I had never really looked at it that way.
Is this how the Catholics felt when John Calvin came around, dude, and just blew their whole world up? I'm sorry.
It was a really good study. I've read Ruth. I cannot tell you how many times. It's my Martin favorite Luther, book in the Bible. And those were all things that God showed me for the past month when I was reading it. I was like, this is nuts. I've read this book 95,000 times.
That is awesome. Yeah. What's your podcast called again? Or blog, I'm sorry?
MyRedeemedChaos.com.
Check it out.
Because my chaos is redeemed, although they get in trouble a lot.
Yeah. I try to share out her stuff occasionally on my social media and whatever, whenever she reminds me to. But yeah, it's good stuff.
Well, that's not the role of a man in a relationship.
What's funny
you're
is
you're not supposed to support your wife. She's supposed to support you.
The first time that I shared out her stuff, it was before she had like proofread
it. Proofread it before.
And fixed all the typos. So she was really frustrated because she's like, all these people are looking at my blog now and it's not right.
There were lots of typos.
I love it. I think it was pretty cool. It really challenged me on the way I thought about some subconscious things.
I forget which one you read. Did you read the one about men honoring women in the workforce?
I can't remember.
I feel like it was woman versus man. The real debate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and about how, like...
Yeah, because you had a clickbait picture on there of the gender wage gap. I'm like, this is going to be some lefty BS, dude.
It was it?
No, it wasn't.
Not at all.
It wasn't.
It was clickbait.
I got clickbaited, but it was good clickbait.
Bro, that's why I title our episodes the way I do, is for clickbait only. Yeah,
and the picture of Martin Luther and a Catholic and a whatever walking into a bar.
A Catholic is going to walk
into a bar. Yeah, I did that on purpose.
Anyhoot. So, the most important question I have for you guys, was Paul a misogynist or a realist?
No, I'll seriously. Let Warner take this one.
No, seriously, do you think he was a misogynist?
No, I do not at all. I don't think he was at all. I think he is real about sin, but if you look at Romans 7, he's real about his own sin, maybe more than anybody else's. So when people say he's like he's bigoted or he's sexist or any of these things, it's just not reality. In fact, in his culture, in his time, he would have been, I think, considered progressive.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he says things like, I became all things to all people. And
yeah.
To the Jew, I became a Jew. To the Gentile, a Gentile. To a slave, a slave. Like, he's expressing that he didn't he didn't differentiate. He didn't discriminate. He did not put anyone higher than anyone else. He put everybody on the same playing field. And in fact, he in Romans 7, he talks about his own sin, and he says that he's the chief among sinners, and he says
yeah.
that, like, he does the things that he wishes he wouldn't do, and he doesn't do the things he wishes he would do. And he says that he's just, all of his works are filthy rags, all this yeah. stuff. Like, he's pretty self-deprecating, if anything.
And you know what filthy rags are in the Bible, right?
Oh, two women.
Well, actually, the word he uses in one point is, when he says it's all dung, he uses this Greek word skubala, which is like a profanity. It's like a curse word.
For bloody.
For no, not that one.
For poop.
For poop. He basically says BS in like the Greek language. It's pretty great.
Skubalung?
Skubala.
Skubala.
Yeah.
That's skubala.
Yeah.
Anyway, when I think of misogyny, I think of, you really got to come to be a misogynist. You really got to come from a place of pride or power, which sounds real lefty, you know what I mean? It's like what they say about racism, where it's like you can't be racist if you don't have power. So only white people could be racist. But misogyny, Paul like relinquished himself of all his power to follow Christ.
Right.
Like, he was the man of power until he relinquished his life to Christ. And all the stuff you just brought up about Romans, about him saying he's the chief sinner and stuff like that, I never, reading Paul's writings, you never get the impression that he thinks he's better or above anybody, men or women. So I get real tired of hearing that. It's really like a new thought Christian, like non-denom thing, you know, where you're like, well, I believe in red letter Jesus, but not Paul Jesus, or Paul Bible, whatever. I don't like that.
In fact, in Galatians 2, or Galatians 3, rather, Paul says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
So he basically takes all the distinguishing factors that people could discriminate against
yeah.
and says, none of that matters because yeah. you're all one in Jesus.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I would say that the idea that Paul is somehow a bigot or a misogynist or sexist or racist or any of that stuff just doesn't hold any water when you look at actual scripture.
Yeah.
And then you look at his close friend groups and the people that he associated with, and it just doesn't line up with what people say about him.
No.
Did you have another note on that, or?
I don't, but I want to go to Philippians 11, because.
Philippians 11.
Yes.
I don't think that's right. Is that right? Philippians 11. What are you trying to get at? What's?
Oh, sorry. Philippians 4:3.
Okay,
yeah, I was gonna say there's not a Philippians 11.
I'm pretty sure there's only four chapters.
There's only Philippians is short, bud.
My bad.
That's okay.
We can make it happen, though.
Who writes Philippians, Paul?
Yeah.
He says, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. I read this earlier, and I thought it was interesting because I feel like the modern idea of a woman and a man is that the woman stays home and watches the kids and feeds the kids and cleans the house while the man is out sharing the gospel. And in a way, you kind of put a division between those two things instead of seeing how they are both equally interacting with one another to further the spreading of the gospel. Like, the wife is as much a part of what the husband is doing as the husband is a part of what the wife is doing. You take that from Ephesians 5:21-26. Everybody knows that. You stole my Galatians 3:28. Because a lot of people think of that as, you know, you use that to argue against like Hebrew Israelites or like Jews or something like that. But you forget about the male female part of that.
Yeah. Slave and free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to talk about Warner, something I admire about you, and we talked about this when we talked about the fruits of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit, is how much work you're constantly doing to further the kingdom, of course, led by the Holy Spirit. But what does that look like in your life, Tiffany, behind the scenes? What challenges does it bring you? What ways do you guys have to adapt and learn around the new, because you do it as well. And if you can talk about it, I don't know if it's HIPAA or not. Maybe talk about your job you're doing.
And I don't administer shots, so I feel like I can talk about people. Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding. You want to hit that first?
I think that, I don't know. I do a lot. I have got a lot of irons in the fire pretty much all the time. But Tiffany is really supportive in that. She's a really great pastor's wife in that she's very helpful in just making sure that I'm freed up to do the things that I need to do.
Yeah.
But that I also have to remember that I have a responsibility to my family too.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm working
ultimately.
I keep saying I'm writing these books, and I truly am working on like two or three different books depending on which way I go. But one of them is about pastoring your family, and it's a tricky thing to navigate, and just something that they don't teach you in seminary.
No.
So I think, well, one, I appreciate that you noticed that I am very supportive of it, because I am. I remember when Warner and I were dating, and we went to my mom's church, and I introduced him to Reverend McGarvey, and Reverend McGarvey said, "Oh, so when are you going into the pastorate?" And he was talking to Warner, and he said, "I'm not." And he goes, "You are." And he said it with very, like...
Was that the fish story guy?
No, that was Reverend Horner. Reverend McGarvey is the one that died of cancer.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I met him just briefly, yeah.
But it was...
Was this a charismatic church?
No. It's just a... Like a tabernacle Christian. Just like a regular Christian church.
Yeah. So, and I still remember that. And we were, what, 17, 18? I don't know if we were engaged yet.
Yeah, we were pretty young.
But I've always kind of known that
we were like Zach's age.
Yeah, well, younger, because we had been married for 4 years by the time we were Zach's age.
It's a joke I pick on Zach for being young.
He's not a baby. Look at him. He's a grown man.
I have a six pack and a mustache. I'm working on the beard. It's like a neck thing I got going on right now. Beard. I'm trying to. Anyways, sorry.
No, you're fine. But that stuck with me. I've always known that Warner was going to end up in the pastorate. I just never knew when it was going to happen.
Yeah.
However, when he told me that he was going to be a pastor, I panicked.
Yeah.
Because I'm loud. I am not your typical female, and I was like, the biggest fear I have of you going in the ministry is me being a pastor's wife.
Yeah, I feel like the stigma around pastor's wives, so they're like dainty and they're all angelic. And like when we went on the mission trip, I'm about to air you out.
Yeah.
She was farting like all the guys, laughing about the farts, dude. Like she was just like one of the guys, dude.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I could see how it'd be a little challenging. But I think it's awesome to see though.
Well, I also personally just have never been really good at like relationships with other people. I have my core group of people that I am comfortable with and I will talk to. But in general, I don't like for you to touch me. Don't try to give me a hug, and that's kind of the real role. Come on,
that's the holy kiss in our culture.
It's the role of a pastor's wife. We gotta give hugs and like really go out of our like comfort zones, like physically and emotionally. And at first I thought it was very daunting. I bought a bunch of pastor's wife books so that I could start to wrap my mind around it. Speaking of mother's jobs, yes, dear.
I actually believe that the fist bump is the modern day holy kiss.
Oh, it's okay. I'll find it later.
The fist bump is the holy
kiss.
Dude,
me and my friend Jordan, holy kiss. Me and my friend Jordan, we have a fist bump where we put our hands together like in a vertical position, then we stick our thumb out like it's a thumbs up, and then we kiss each other's thumbs.
Yeah, there you go. That's the new holy kiss.
Anyway,
so I read every book that I could, and I think I've slowly but surely like adapted my mindset. I still don't really like hugs, but I'll do it.
I remember on the mission trip, you didn't want to give anybody hugs after leaving. I love hugs, man.
But I think one of the biggest challenges, and Warner does a very good job of balancing work and home, is we might be out on a date. Actually, we were. We were out on my birthday.
Yeah.
For my birthday this year, sitting down to a dinner without our kids finally, and somebody called needing counsel.
Really?
Yeah. And we just stopped what we were doing so that he could. And at times I'm like, dinner's ready now. Like, let's eat dinner as a family. And it's almost, he doesn't ever turn it off, and nor should he.
Right.
But that goes both ways, because on my birthday, we were also out, and someone called Tiffany for counsel. And that
really?
That happens too. So
that's awesome, though.
Yeah. It's something that is just part of the life.
You know, that's something I find it hard. And I probably don't have the right to judge because I'm not in the position. But, you know, pastors who are like, you know, we need time off too, or this or that. It's like, yeah, I agree in a sense. But being a pastor isn't a job. It's a lifestyle. It's like you work maybe 8 hours a day, maybe not. And then you're on call the rest of the day and all night. So I admire that about what you guys do. I love that you guys are always willing and open. Last night I was over at Tanner's house, who's on the podcast, until 10:30 at night, and I get home and I have my headphones in. I just stopped at the gas station, got an apple juice. I'm ready to go inside and go to sleep. And this guy, dude, tatted up all over his face, head, neck, walks up to me. He's like, "Hey man, can you give me a jump?" I'm like, "I got you, man." I give him a jump. He has no gas in his car. We go buy him gas and all this and that. And I could have been upset because I wanted to go in and go to sleep. I had to wake up at 6 in the morning and go to work. But I felt so good to have been able to do that with that guy, man. Like, we talked about Jesus. I'm going to bring him to church on Sunday. Like, just being available will change people's lives and change your own life. And I love that for you guys. Tell me about this night job thing you're doing.
Before we get into that, I want to tell you that I'm actually a little bit jealous of your ability to go and do that with somebody. Because as a female...
Oh, yeah.
I can't. Like, I mean, I could. I have helped people where I can. But if I'm alone at night... Yeah,
it's not a good...
That's not something that I can or should do. If I did that, I think Warner would be very angry with me. I think he would understand, and we have to trust the sovereignty of God in that situation. But women also have this...
But you also have to use good discernment, too.
Good discernment of, like, what's a good situation, what's a bad situation. And I think sometimes women get in their head like, oh, I might be entertaining an angel unaware. Yeah, true. But you also don't...
But you also might be entertaining a fallen angel in his underwear. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be really careful with that.
Just a lot of things you have to think about. So with the safety issue, like before we get into what I do at night, which is safe and not nasty, when Warner took on this position, we had to talk very seriously about our standards. Like, he wants to minister and counsel people, but he is not allowed to minister or counsel women by himself.
Yeah.
Not behind a shut door either.
Yeah, that's just good. That's a good practice. I would suggest for any pastor. But hey, now we've got these fancy cameras, so I might just take these to work with me and videotape all of my counseling sessions.
Well, and there's also some things for me too. Like, before he became a pastor, we had male roommates, and he and I were always alone at the house, and nobody thought anything of it. But now that he's a pastor, like, you and I probably shouldn't be hanging out by ourselves at my house.
Yeah.
So, like, there are things that we have to think about and standards we have to hold ourselves to because of the world and
I must
because
say,
of where we're at.
That would be weird because I am a catch. When I was 18, I was dating a 27-year-old girl with two kids. So, I mean, you got to watch out when you're around Zach. No, I'm just kidding. But what I'm saying, other than that, is I get what you're saying, and I do try to understand that female perspective. But I was sketched out with this guy because the day before, I've been feeling real weird about this, even though it's not a big deal. Somebody stole like $800 worth of tools out of my truck.
You should be feeling weird about that. They violated your
space. It's not
space,
the end, yeah, but it's not
but they
the
violated
end
of, your space. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't like that.
It definitely made me uncomfortable. But then this guy, it's like the Lord was testing me, man. This guy comes up, and he's in my truck. We're going to get gas. He's like, yeah, I just got out of doing 4 years in prison. And I'm sitting there driving, and I could feel, like, my neck hair stand up. I'm like, but it was a really good conversation, man. I have experience with people like that, and I grew up around people like that, and I was blessed. But I won't lie, like, I wasn't a little sketched out talking to this guy.
I imagine.
Did you, since you're talking about, last week we were talking about, you know, Catholicism, and you're trying to figure out what you should be doing, and did you pray to Saint C.S. Lewis for him or whatever?
Yeah, we prayed together, and we did the John Calvin prayer. So I think he'll be saved by tomorrow.
Our predestined Father who art in heaven.
Yeah, that's blasphemy, bro.
Just a little Calvinist humor.
Catholics, we love you.
Just a little John Calvin joke there for you.
As a woman, what do you think of Mary?
Which one?
Jesus' mother. I knew that was coming.
What do I think of her? I think that she did not feel worthy for the position. And that she had to go through a lot more than most someone would ever want to think about going through. I mean, can you imagine having the burden of carrying the Son of God?
Yeah. Well, no, I can't imagine. But
like,
that's
insane. And also in her day and age, thinking about being pregnant at such a young age, and
not even our kid who's interrupting.
Yeah, that's not even our kid.
That's a neighbor kid.
Just the magnitude of what she had to go through, and also like the fear of announcing to everybody that she is with child, and. Doesn't you guys? I told you this was going to happen if I was on the podcast. Our children are going to come downstairs.
Go.
20 minutes.
Iris, get away. Minutes. See you later. Zach will come play blocks with you in 20 minutes.
I'm not playing blocks with them.
Did you hear what he said?
Zach, you need to let your yes be yes and your no be no and your play with blocks be play with blocks.
Unless they're kids.
There's a lot of gravity and stuff that she had to deal with, and I think that what she did was incredible.
I don't think Protestants give her enough credit, man. I think we're so against Catholicism that we're like, no, Mary's filthy rags just like the rest of us, and it's like...
Warner, what do you think about Mary?
Do you think she was a forever virgin?
No, I don't think she was a forever. I don't think she was a forever virgin because we know that James and Jude were Jesus's half biological brothers. And I suppose they could have been. There's this argument that they could have been Joseph's children from a different marriage, but I don't think that's. I don't think there's any.
That's just a leap.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's a real leap because there's no scripture that would that indicates that he was married before, or that he was had you know, multiple wives or anything crazy like that. So,
do you think Mary died?
Yes.
Like ever?
Yeah.
Yes.
The only person I don't think that died was the Apostle John, but that's for another podcast, buddy.
There are people who think Mary didn't die, but instead, like Melchizedek, I believe, she was taken straight to heaven in her flesh.
You're talking about Enoch. Enoch was taken.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Elijah was taken.
Okay.
And I believe that...
Are you sure it wasn't Melchizedek?
Positive. And I believe that the Apostle John might still be around. But that's a conversation for another day. Sounds like Roger wants to chime in on that. He's real loud tonight. I don't know what's going on. Zach, give us another question.
I want to read Proverbs 31.
Yes, good call.
Don't you have a whole bunch of notes over there, man?
What's going on? But I'm waiting for you to say something silly.
There's too much going on. This is my first day not doing Zins in like
praise God
in years, dude. And I've been out of it, bro. Like. Well, I'm driving around and my eyes are just feel like they're sunken into my face, dude. I have like no energy, dude. Oh, it sucks. Anyway, I'm saying dude a lot. Okay. Proverbs 31. Are we going to read this whole thing?
Are we going to start with verse 10?
I suppose.
The wife of noble character?
Read it first, Tiffany.
Okay. So to preface, this is a mother teaching her young prince son, who is going to be king one day. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night, and she provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity and can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate.
I've got a question for you. Okay. On that, this is the first time I'm hearing of this. You said something about
women in the Bible.
You said something about it's written by a mother to her son, as to quote Joe Rogan. Unpack that for me, because I'm unfamiliar with that.
A
woman to her son about a daughter.
I didn't say that.
I thought you said it was a mother to her son
telling him
to find a wife.
Yeah, it is.
Verse
31 says, "The sayings of King Lemuel, an inspired utterance his mother taught him."
Hmm. Nah, dude, that's added, dude. That's NIV.
Wait, where did you?
Is that NIV?
It is NIV.
Not inspired version, dude. Go on, stop playing.
What verse is this? I want to see
verse
this.
Verse 1, chapter 31, verse 1.
Okay, Proverbs 31.
And if you don't like that, verse 2 says, "Listen, my son. Listen, son of my womb. Listen, my son, the answer to my prayer."
Touché, 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 touché. I guess I never recognized that. I never saw that before.
That's interesting. Spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings.
Amen, bro. Celibacy
right
there in the Bible.
It is not for kings, Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Let beer be for those who are perishing, wine for those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute, and speak up and judge fairly and defend the rights of the poor and needy." And then she goes in to
talk
about...
Bro, that's wild. I never caught that in my
life. I've never even read this part of the Proverbs.
No, that's but it is. It's I think King Lemuel is writing it, but he's writing what his mother
inspired
told him.
Word of
that's wild.
Saint mother, whatever her name is,
Mrs. Lemuel.
She probably never died either, and it was
no,
a
dude.
Version.
That's wild. I never read that before. Or I guess I'm sure I've read it. I absolutely have read it, but I never caught that. That's crazy. That's cool. I like that.
That is crazy. But
yeah, I'm glad you unpacked that for me.
Let's run through my cliff notes because
cliff notes
because you read this and you're like, man, this is what modern day culture thinks a man is. These are some things I picked out that I heard. Worth more than rubies. That's such a beautiful thing to say about your wife, right, Warner? Works with eager hands, provides food, buys land, profitable, generous, makes money, wise, faithful, not lazy.
Yeah.
Well, shoot, if that doesn't describe a man out here in the country, I don't know what does.
That's awesome. That's a really good passage, man.
I know. So, basically, if I ever get married, I'm kind of looking for a manly woman.
I don't.
Amen.
And this is why. This is why you should feel not as bad about not being a dainty pastor's wife. You're a manly woman.
I mean, I look dainty sometimes, but I am definitely way more I think aggressive than the normal female.
I thought dainty meant like acting stupid all the time. You know, girls that just act
I think
like
you're saying. I think you mean ditzy. That's something
dainty
else.
Is like precious, like a flower. Ditzy delicate. Is. Off a rocker.
Maybe I was being offensive by saying you weren't dainty. My bad, dude. I don't know these old people words and all types of stuff. I mean, that isn't old.
But with all the old people you hang out with, you should know these words.
Yeah, I know.
Well, here comes Iris again for her 37th guest appearance tonight. That's
so
just
here's
something.
The thing. My children rise and call me blessed. This is why I can never.
You're bluffing.
See?
I think you're she said blessed. You're bluffing.
Love you.
Bro, you're bluffing. We're actually getting ready to relaunch our Honeymoon's Over podcast, which is this one where we talk about like marriage and stuff and parenting.
Any proceeds you get from that, get using my equipment. I'm just kidding.
But that's exactly, dude, that's exactly what I told her. I said, we should start this back up even if the kids interrupt us because...
that's part of it.
Because
dude.
We have such good equipment now, thanks to Zach, that it'll really help.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Then.
Well, so like, this is a very good example of some of the verses in here where it says, children are lies and call her blessed. As obnoxious as it is that my children literally never leave me alone,
it's a blessing.
If they did not care about me or want me around, they would not be around me. Same thing like with this little dog in my arms. Like, he wants to be near me. And if you, not trying to toot my own home, but if you develop a love for your children will reciprocate that for you. Almost so much so that they are up your butt the entire time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need a dog. That's what I'm getting out of this
conversation. You can borrow him for a while.
No. He'd choke on something at my house and probably. Die, dude.
So are you wanting, you indicated that you wanted me to get into my notes. Is that... What
did we want to finish Proverbs 31? Is there any other questions you guys have about that?
Well, my question was for me and Warner, when we read Proverbs 31, when most guys read Proverbs 31, they think of the woman. You know, this is the proverb for looking for the ideal woman. But it's interesting, it actually tells you what the ideal man is in the same proverb. And I didn't expect you to blitz through it the way you did.
I blitzed it? Like, read it too fast?
You just flew through it with some passion. I loved it. But this is the important part to me of the proverb. I'll read it again. What, my son, and what, son of my womb, and what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicated drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the justice of the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. That's some conviction right there. If we're talking about, I want to do another podcast about biblical masculinity. And kind of what that looks like. But a lot of biblical masculinity or cultural Christian masculinity in my eyes is provide for your wife, work,
beat your kids.
work 12 hours a day, and it better be blue collar. Make enough money so you can have a boat and you can take boat trips to the lake.
Man, where's my boat?
You're not getting a boat. Well, that's where we in a couple of weeks I actually wanted to talk about should we pay pastors, and so we'll talk about the pastor buying a boat on that podcast.
Yeah, we shouldn't pay pastors. and then that lifestyle, that misconstrued version of what it is to be a man leads you to drowning your sorrows in things that are unhealthy.
Yeah,
I have a friend right now that. Doesn't have an outlet. He's in the church, but he doesn't have an outlet, and he's very scared. It broke my heart to talk to him. He's very scared of where he's going to go, where he's going to turn to release his anger or this or that. And I don't know what that means, but I understand the fear that comes with that because I've been there a million times, as I'm sure you guys may have been. But sometimes you have no one to turn to. And I've noticed this with married people. I'm not married, so I don't know myself, but you need people outside of your relationship to talk to confide in, to talk about what's going on in your relationship with. Because it's not just you and your husband or you and your wife taking on the world. In a way, it is.
Side note, though, let me just, I need to interject this because I think it's important at this moment. I don't like to interrupt you, as anyone who listens to the podcast knows.
The interruptiest of interrupters. But
this is important here in this moment. You do need that person, but two things I would warn against in that. That person should not be of the opposite sex, one.
Right.
Because that leads to some really unhealthy relationship issues.
And why would, like, you want to be friends with a girl emotional, anyways, if you're a girl?
Emotional affairs and things like that.
Yeah.
Second, you really got to be careful with that because you should be able to share your things, but you don't want to constantly be complaining about your spouse to somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. But continue. I agree with you.
Well, no, that's a good preface. I agree that gossip is bad. I hate when I leave from one of my friends' house and they're venting to me, you know, and it just feels like gossip. And I just hate the way that makes me feel.
I'd rather venting gossip, though, than disguised gossip as, we need to pray for this person because...
I agree.
I can't stand that.
Warner and I have venting gossip sessions together where but you just even just said, like, you need to have a person that you can go and talk to. He and I are best friends, and he and I also know each other's weaknesses and each other's strengths. And although we may need an outlet to vent and be angry about it, later on we can come back together and say, okay, no, that wasn't fair. Let's talk about this. Let's pray about this next situation. And how do we proceed from here? Like, he is my pastor and he gives me good advice. And I'd like to think that I reciprocate that for him. Like, whatever he is frustrated or mad about something, I will listen to it. I'm trying my best just to listen.
He's about to make a joke.
I know he is. I'm trying my best to listen and not say anything and solve the problem that has been an ongoing issue in our marriage. It was me always trying to solve problems.
Sometimes I'm just wanting to vent, right? And she's out here playing devil's advocate, and she's like, well,
we're solving the problem.
Well, have you considered selling your soul to the devil? No, have you not heard? You've heard me say that joke before, right?
You guys did it on the what? No, that was on one of your podcasts. You guys said it on the one of your podcasts.
I must have missed it.
That idiom, the phrase devil's advocate. I hate that phrase. Because the only thing the devil would ever advocate for is selling your soul to the devil or doing something wrong. So when someone says devil's advocate, I like to make that joke. Stupid, but yeah. Dude. Anyway, it's fine.
You thought it was funny on the podcast a while ago.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like I just heard that for the first time.
Zach wouldn't know because he doesn't listen back to the podcast at all.
Look, I quit Zins, dude. Like, I don't know how to win with you, bro. You're just always going to have something.
No, I think that's great. I think that's why you don't remember it, is because you were in a Zins haze when that happened. You were all Zinsed out. You were a real Zins head. Go ahead.
Continue. Anyways, I hate my life. No, I'm just kidding. Something super important to me is men's Bible study, and that's like a kind of a gross word, I think. Some people hear that, and they're like, why does it have to be men's? Why can't it be men's and women?
Is women's Bible study a gross word?
I don't know. Depends if you're in a non-denominational church or not. I feel like
are you just as annoyed by women's Bible studies? Are you?
I'm not annoyed by either of them. What I'm saying is, if you guys would let me say anything for 5 minutes straight, is there's a necessity for men to commune together, and there's a necessity for women to commune together. Not in a mixed setting. It's unnatural. It's weird. I tell my friends all the time. I'm like, I don't have my friend's wife's phone numbers in my phone. I don't talk to them outside. Seriously.
That's not
I
true.
Don't,
you and Tiffany text each other in Spanish.
That's different. Sometimes. That's different.
I'm not your that's, friend's
she's
wife.
She's like one of the guys, dude. But like, I just don't feel the need to like text my friend's wife's. Like, I'll see them and I'll talk to them. I don't know. I just feel like it's weird for me to be talking to married women around me, even though I'm like 17 years old.
You get younger and younger every time.
But
he's like Benjamin Button on this podcast. Anyway, go ahead.
I hate you guys. I love you. I'm just kidding. This men's Bible study we do is single-handedly one of the most important things we do as a group. And it's kind of been fading out a little bit here lately. But, you know, all these guys have wives and newborns and kids and stuff like that. And they need to... What?
I don't want to interrupt you, but I have a really funny joke. What? It's a stupid pun. You were gonna. You said single-handedly, and I was like... Then you instantly said it's a bunch of married men. And I was like, so the Bible says he's single-handedly, but not single-mandedly.
What?
Don't ask.
What?
Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
I'm just going to close that point. they talk to me about, you know, there's stuff that you just can't talk to your wife about. You know, you can, but it's just like stuff that guys are better at understanding. And sometimes, you know, when you're trying to vent to somebody and they're just not understanding you, it makes it worse. So I think there's a huge importance on, and maybe you could speak on the perspective of women, because I can't. I think there's a huge importance of the communion of the saints, especially men on men and women on women. But I don't know anything about the women on women. You'd have to tell me.
Well, we're not going to talk about that in this podcast. This is a Christian podcast, Zach. I agree with you. I think that those times, like men's Bible studies and men's breakfast and stuff, and women's Bible studies and
pancakes and porn, dude. Yes,
that's another podcast title.
No, that's a real thing. I know somebody that does.
That's
it.
Crazy. That's disgusting.
No, they don't watch it. It's like pancakes, and they talk about porn addiction. Anyway,
oh, okay, right. I see what you're saying. No, that's good. Yeah, that's healthy then to talk about. Yeah. Anyway, my addiction is the other, but my addiction would be the pancakes on that. The problem.
You're an idiot.
Anyway, I think that it's important to have like men's conferences, women's conferences. Those things are important. I think it definitely is important to have those specific gatherings together because of what you're talking about. When you're talking about, like, there's men's issues that women are just not going to understand, and women's issues that men are just not going to understand.
Yeah. Yeah, like, for example, I was in the hospital with my friend David, who passed away. His wife was in the hospital last weekend with a UTI. And I was sitting there listening to her and the nurse talk, and I had no idea what they were talking about. That was the first time I ever heard of what a UTI was, or septic, or sepsis.
Men can get UTIs. Did you not know that?
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what it is.
We also have UTs.
What?
To urinary get tracts.
We also have UTs to get eyed. Anyway, go ahead.
That sounded... so anyways. Stuff like that, like... You just can't talk to guys about stuff like... Or like... Guys with porn, especially because a lot of married guys still struggle with porn. You can't really talk about that in a Bible study with women around and stuff like that.
It would be awkward. But I think that there's also a reality that some women struggle with that too, though.
Mm-hmm.
But also it would be weird for them to talk to a man about that.
Right. Which I'm not saying you should definitely confess that unto your wife if she doesn't already know.
No, we've talked about that, mm-hmm. those struggles and the things that come along with that, for sure.
Yeah.
I think it is important that people confess that kind of stuff to their wife, because that's important, I think.
Yeah. I know we're on here talking about women, but we've kind of sidetracked over to men for a minute, but I'm curious.
That's how we do it, baby. Yeah.
It always comes back to the dude. How do you guys feel like the progression of women's rights has affected men in the church? So, for an example, I feel like men have been so devalued that they don't get up and pray in church very often. Like, we had a candlelight service, and we can pass the mic around, and it's mostly the wives that are praying, and a lot of the husbands don't. I know you two don't have a problem with that, but I find it very interesting that women are way more on board for, like, getting their Bibles out and starting to, like, do a little Bible study, and it's almost like pulling teeth to get their husbands to go and do something like that. I've never had that problem because, obviously, we've always served together and we've always valued going deeper.
Yeah.
But, like, how do you feel like the progression of women's rights has taken away your masculinity?
I think that has nothing to do with women's rights. I think it's a different issue of the severity of the gospel. Understanding the severity of the gospel, I think a lot of men in America specifically were so conditioned to have good things and to be taken care of that the gospel is really just like a choice for us, you know. Mm. And when you go to Honduras or something like that, you know, the majority of people there are Catholic. They have to choose God.
Yeah.
They have to choose God. They have nothing else to choose.
Right.
So I think that's just poor leadership. You know, a woman's not going to want to follow a man that doesn't want to be a leader. So I don't know. I don't think that has anything to do with women's rights. I mean,
so poor leadership as in poor leadership in the household that they grew up in?
They don't want to take charge.
Right, but why don't they?
I don't know, to be honest.
That's really
good. Maybe it's easier. Maybe it's easier to not take charge.
So it is if you have an overbearing wife.
But also the curse of the curse of the serpent.
No, that's true.
The woman will want after what the man has.
We're making Warner mad.
I'm trying so hard to get the camera switching the right way, and you guys keep like bouncing back and forth for like 0.5 seconds.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was a podcast.
No, we're no. This is good, but from the editor side, this is very difficult. But I don't normally notice it because I'm normally talking as well. So this is good. I like it.
So you're right. It could be on both sides of wives not wanting to submit and husbands not wanting to love their wives as Christ loved the church.
Yeah.
And Christ had the church and Christ gave his life for the church. And men don't want to do that anymore. They want to live comfortably in America. They want to live comfortably, live as long as they can, as comfortable as they can, as peaceful as they can, garner as much stuff as they can, and stay out of the way. They don't want to be seen. They don't want to be heard. They don't want to take charge or lead anything. They don't want to be, you know, when a problem arises, they look around. Everybody looks around now for who's going to fix it instead of raising your hand and going to fix it yourself.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't think it has anything to do with women's rights. I think it has to do with a biblical understanding of a relationship.
Do you think this is as good a time as any to talk about what we really set out to? We ended up just talking about women, but we really set out to talk about women in the church.
Yes,
and their role in the church.
Let's do it.
And we're this is gonna be a little bit of a longer one.
Now I got a cat.
I'm okay with it being a little bit of a longer.
Well, it was about 45 minutes of people interrupting us and dogs barking.
That's very true.
And now a cat.
And now there's a cat down here. It's like a. What is this?
I need to start bringing a pellet gun with
this
me.
This is kangaroo court.
Guys, this is what happens when you invite mom on the podcast.
Yeah.
She's like Pocahontas.
So I wanted to talk about that, and I think I wanted to take, you know how you normally are the one that takes the more aggressive approach or the
devil's advocate.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a better word because I made fun of that.
The
so
contrarian.
Much. The contrarian. Thank you. That's exactly. So maybe I will take this approach, or I don't know. But I think this typical stance, and this is a common belief, is that women should not have a leadership role in the church or speak in the church or preach, things like that. That's I could see where people get those from scripture, that thought process. And even as a younger man, I definitely believed that. I don't know that that's necessarily true all of the time. In fact, I thought maybe I'd give some scriptures as to where we see other things also from Paul, because a lot of times when people argue against that, saying that Paul just hated women, so that's why he put that stuff in the Bible. One, yeah. God would not allow that if that were the case.
Right.
But two,
unless God hates women.
Yeah, and he right. Doesn't. He does not. And God would not allow that if that were the case. And two, I don't think that's true just based on his other relationships in scripture that we see. So I could. So do you have scriptures maybe for, and I would have scriptures against, or
I think it's versa? I'm against women being leaders in the church.
Okay.
Leaders in the church, meaning pastors, deacons, making decisions in the church. Worship leaders, I'm fine with that. I don't think, we don't really do this in our church, but prophecy, I don't think women should be prophesying. I don't know if I'm solid on that one, but I think it's pretty clear cut. 1 Timothy 2:10, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. Which you can make a case for that going for men too. And I do not permit women to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. So I think it's pretty clear. I mean, he literally says, let a woman learn in silence with all submission, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. Pretty clear cut and
what
dry.
What verse did you start with?
I started with verse 10.
But can you go up to, I think it's verse 8 maybe? Where's the therefore?
Yep. I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel,
okay,
with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, which in context is because women that wore stuff like that were prostitutes and harlots and stuff like that.
Sure.
But which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. And then I got into all that.
Yeah. So here's,
I have something.
This is the biblical scholar seminary answer here, mm-hmm, is we have to ask what the therefore is there for. So what's prior to the therefore? What's before that?
I desire.
No, before he says before he has that conversation, what's he talking about?
Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, Catholics, the man Christ Jesus, no, I'm just kidding, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. And then he says, I desire therefore.
Okay, before that therefore that you read this time, before that, he talks about the false teachers and false prophets in the early part of 1 Timothy 2. Right? Or is it 1 Timothy 3? Whichever one you're in.
1 Timothy 2, I don't know.
Well, the context of this is he's talking about false teachers. And he says to root out false teachers, in fact. And so he's talking to Timothy, who's the pastor in Ephesus. And in Ephesus, they had the Artemis cult, which had false false prophetesses who were leaders in the cult of Artemis, and they wore gaudy jewelry, and they did not cover their heads. They would talk strongly to men and be like kind of like not feminist, but like extreme, you know, overbearing women, mm-hmm, in the culture. And so when they started to get false teachers in the church, they were coming out of this cult. And so it's possible that he was in that moment referencing, let's just silence all the women because we don't know which ones are the false teachers right now.
I don't know. I'd have to see some more proof on that, bro. Like,
okay.
I'd have to see some early church father writings or something on that. Do you have any idea where you get that from, where that comes from?
That's a cultural context. Just historically speaking, in Ephesus, we're talking about.
I am going to write that down. I'm okay. going to look into it. And yeah. at the beginning of the next podcast, maybe we'll come back to this.
Yeah, and please, if I'm wrong about that, correct me. But I believe that it was in Ephesus where they had the cult of Artemis, and it was led primarily by women, which would track.
That would make sense.
It would track because Artemis was a female hunter goddess or whatever of the Greek culture.
Yes, and there's a lot of stuff that you have to take in context, like in Ephesians 5, what we were talking about with women, when Paul goes into how to be a good servant, people take that and say he's condoning slavery.
Right.
So there are points where you have to look into context, but this is like the Leo Tolstoy dilemma we were talking about. You had something, didn't you? Or did you get through it?
No, she did say she had something.
I did have the, so at what point are you a man then?
What?
Because as your mother...
I have a Peter.
Yes, I understand that. Peter has multiple Peters. Peter is a Peter. Okay. Sorry, my brain just went off the deep end.
That was real liberal.
This.
Sorry, my ADHD.
This
came out.
Brought to you by ADHD.
Sorry. You said no woman should be above a man per scripture. At what point are you a man? Because you're going to listen to your mama.
Yeah, but I would think you're a boy because you're a child.
Okay.
And then once you're a man, Jewish tradition was probably different. I'm not sure what the Jewish tradition is on the way you become a man. But the way I would define being a man now in our culture is, my friend Tanner says this, taking responsibility for the trajectory of your life. So somebody who is actively seeking... In my case, which maybe doesn't define all men, but seeking Christ and seeking conviction and repentance, transformation of your life.
Okay.
And you're typically doing that on your own.
So. I don't disagree with you. I know women pastors. Would I choose to go to a church that was pastored by a female? No. Do I think that women should be elders and deacons of the church? No, that's not what we're called to do. Do I think that it is totally fine for me to teach in youth group to younger men? Yes, absolutely. Would I go and speak at a men's conference? Only if it was about women in the church. But like, I am not one of those who... like super advocates for that. However, if that teaching position is a man's job, what are the female's job in the church?
Well, hold on. Let me tag on to what you just said though, because when you use that scripture that says, "I do not permit a woman to teach," right?
Yes.
So should she not teach Sunday school?
Because we have double teamed.
We have a woman teaching.
No, conversation.
We have a woman teaching Sunday school at our church, and there are men in that Sunday school, grown men. Okay, but here's the other thing: if he meant that for all places for all time, then why would he have mentioned Phoebe, who is a deaconess who taught in Centria? Or Junia, who he says is outstanding in leadership, or Priscilla, who is his close friend, who functioned as a teacher in, I believe, Thessalonica.
Huh. I don't know. I'd have to look into this.
Mm-hmm. Now, it does say that they're not chosen as elders.
He just walked me into that. He just walked me
into
that.
It does say that they're not chosen as elders. Well, it doesn't say that, but it omits any suggestion that at any point women are chosen as elders, and it specifically talks about the roles of men as elders. So I don't see anywhere where it says that, but he does. There are these well-known leaders in the church, the early church, that Paul has a good relationship with that are female.
I wouldn't say that he led you into that either. If this is real talk, you're going to get this. You're going to be head-to-head with women.
If this is true,
who are very, very like anti-Paul, very like, I should be able to teach, I should be able to preach, and we need to know all of the scriptures so that we can be discerning in how to approach
and
it.
And this, I had a new couple in our church come and ask me a bunch of questions about our church, and like a really awesome, super great, fun conversation that was like 3 hours long. It was awesome. But this is one of the questions they asked me about, and this was also one of the questions where I said, this is a place where I can honestly say I don't know the answer to.
Mm-hmm.
Because I absolutely can see what you're saying when in 1 Timothy he says that he doesn't permit a woman to teach.
Yeah.
That does seem pretty straightforward until we see these other areas where he's talking about them being like outstanding in leadership and teaching and stuff. And it's like, these are three women specifically that he mentions in a positive light in leadership. And so,
yeah, but where my mind would go with that is to question, what does that mean? Not what does the clear cut women should not teach men or have authority okay. over men.
And Phoebe is a deaconess. So that, I think that is a role that is welcome in the church.
Interesting. Yeah. I'd have to look into that.
You took the blueberries.
Oh. Tiffany said something that sparked my mind. I can't remember what she was saying, since I just got blasted by Warner.
Sorry.
but
you've got pockets. I said to Iris. Go ahead.
She said something about what should women do in the church.
Yeah, I like that.
But this is the problem, is because we talk about what women shouldn't do in the church, or we're always talking about what women shouldn't do in life, in the church, whatever. And then we neglect the value of what women do good. So I know a lot of men that could not do what a woman does with their children.
Yeah,
I know a lot of men that could not stay home all day doing a 24-hour job taking care of 3 kids, 4 kids, 1 kid. It doesn't matter. These guys can't do it. Them working.
This guy, I cannot do that.
Yeah.
I suck at daddy days.
Yeah. Yeah, working is a break. It's a good thing for us. And then we try to hold working over women's heads. Like, yeah, we go out there and work and we make the money so you and them, almost said the word, kids can eat. And it's like, no, this is a break for us. Yeah. We get away from the kids. We get away from the home life. And we go do what we want to do. So we're always talking about what women can't do instead of admiring the things women do. Yeah. So... doo-doo.
You said it twice. I held it in.
I held it in the first time.
I couldn't, yeah. But.
So women doing nursery, love it. Women doing like childcare in the church, love it.
Children's ministry,
love it. I think that is a woman's place in the church.
Do you think that that is
cooking and cleaning?
No, do you kidding. Think that that is a cop-out? Where in the scriptures does it say only women are responsible for the children? This is something that really actually does a little bit grind my gears. And I actually tried to change it at our last church because I don't like children's church. I don't like to work in children's church because I am with my kids 24/7, 7 days a week. I would like to go to church and be a part of church. However, yeah. I also firmly believe that if you have children in children's ministry, you should be volunteering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it should be a husband and wife volunteering together.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I tried that once.
We have a couple in our church that does that together, and I think they do a great job.
So. We tried that once at current church, and I remember you getting irritated with me about it, justifiably so, because...
Well, I was an elder in the church and had roles
in
that.
Pause. Yeah, okay. Hold on. Go ahead. Interrupty. Two reasons. Three reasons. Elder in the church. You worked retail, so you weren't always at church on Sunday nights.
Right.
And three, you said, if I'm supposed to lead the family, I need to continue to be poured into.
That's correct, yes.
So I have an issue with the fact that you guys get this. This is the only thing feminist about me, probably,
uh-huh.
is you guys get this. I'm not good at kids pass. And we don't.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yes, because
how good are you at hunting and gathering?
How I'm good, actually great at it.
How
thank
good are you.
You
hunting and gathering, you dork? You hunt down zero sugar here. Peanut butter from the Walmart, dude. You
we've can't already hunt that established down, that I am more manly than my husband, and it's fine.
You ain't finding no zero carb tortillas in the forest, boy.
That peanut butter cream.
Yes, I agree. And maybe I'm a little sexist, but I do think women do a better job with kids. I think they're
we don't have a choice not to.
I think they're more nurturing. I mean, it's literally built into your anatomy to be the nurturing one to your children. But men also should be nurturing and taking care of their children.
I agree.
So what I was saying earlier about men going to work and women staying home, you got to be careful not to use that as a cop-out, because I know some guys that'll stay at work and BS around as long as they can because they don't want to go home and take care of the kids or bear the responsibilities of being a father. No, that's not what Ephesians 5:22 says. You should love your wife and love your family as Christ loved the church. Mm-hmm. You should serve them and give your life for them.
Yes.
But I do think a woman is better at nurturing.
I think that we are helpmeets for a reason. There are things... Oh, Warner got an idea. There are things that Warner excels at that I cannot excel at. There are things that I excel at that he cannot excel at. And the marriage of the two is what makes our house function.
One flesh.
And before he goes off on his little tangent, keep it in your head, you said...
Keep it in your pants. Sorry. I'm sorry. Cut that out. Cut that out. Bleep it.
You said... how a man should go and lead as Christ loves the church. That is another reason why I do not think it is good for females to be in pastoral ministry. Because if Christ is the example for leading the church, when a female takes the role of the pastor, that is no longer, I believe, an example of Christ leading the church.
That's like Mary leading the church.
Right. I mean, there's a better way to put it. But if the husband has the sole responsibility for the salvation of our, like, not salvation of our home, but like for the spiritual guidance of our home.
Mm-hmm.
And if he makes a decision, like say he chose not to take the pastor at Zion's Hill,
mm-hmm.
he would bear the guilt of that.
Mm-hmm.
He would bear the responsibility for that decision because he is the head of our house. He is the pastoral ministry in our house. And even if I disagreed with him, he's the one that has to bear that weight and that responsibility. Mm-hmm. Same with the pastor of a church, shepherd my flock. He must bear that weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think a female in that role is a good reflection of Christ in the church.
I don't think so either. But...
it's a fine. It's very, very hard to talk about this.
It's not a fine line for me, to be honest. I don't think women should teach in the church. What I mean by that is they should not lead a congregation of people. I think they can teach small groups and stuff like that. I think that's totally fine. Bible studies, women Bible studies, obviously you need a woman teaching something like that. But they shouldn't be leading the church.
I agree.
The same way I don't think a woman should be leading a relationship. And I mean that in the sense that Tanner says this. He says, if my wife is at 30%, then I'm at 70%. If I'm at 30%, then she's at 70%. We make up for one another to complete the 100%. And I think that's what it is. But as a husband, you still need to be the final line of it. What Tanner and Emma told me last night. They said, if we don't agree on something, Tanner said, I have to be the one to say, all right, fine, you got it. Let's forgive one another and let it go. Tanner has to be the one, and it should be both you guys, right? But ultimately, as the leader in a relationship, you have to be the one that takes the bull by the horns and gets it done. And a man should be that, I think, in a relationship.
You both have brought up something that keeps coming up in my notes, and now I've got to say it. So,
real quick, with all my relationship experience, just so you guys know.
She said the word help meet, which is from this verse in Genesis that says suitable helper.
Yeah.
Right?
Barefoot and pregnant.
It says,
always.
In Genesis 2:8, in Genesis 2:18, it says, it is not good for man to be alone. And so he says, let us make for him a suitable helper or help meet. That Hebrew word is Ezer Kenegdo.
Ezer Kenezer, dude?
Ezer Kenegdo, which is like a rescuer or someone who is strong in another's weakness.
Huh.
So it's not that particular meaning of that word is not a place of submission. Now, she is under Adam in the hierarchy of creation,
mm-hmm.
but she's meant to be a partner that is strong in his weakness.
Yes.
So I wanted to get that out there, and that was my last note. So I think that nails that little bit down. But you mentioned something about worship leaders, right? Women should be able to be worship leaders. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I've also heard people say that they shouldn't be the head worship leader or whatever. But
I think men worship leaders oftentimes suck.
But so I would argue that you saying that a woman shouldn't be the worship leader, because you did say something about them not leading a congregation, but in the sense of worship leading, they do have to lead the congregation in bringing them into worship.
And I see a worship leader as somebody who picks the songs and helps people perform.
That's a podcast for a whole nother day, brother.
Yeah, that's not the job.
Because the role leader is to bring people into the atmosphere of worship. But I will say this: Miriam is the first worship leader in Scripture, and well, that's a bad example. That's a bad example because arguably maybe Lucifer is the first worship leader. So that's a bad example. But again, podcast for another day. But Miriam is the first worship leader that we see in like the people of God, and that's when they're coming out of
Egypt.
She starts shaking tambourines and stuff and getting people into the heart of worship. So I think that's really. I think there's a precedent for that in Scripture.
Yeah, in Absurdities 7, it says women suck. So that's what I'm sticking up.
As a young man who has not yoked, if you were
yoked.
I'm getting yoked, Jim. <bro. laughs> My camera went out, so it's all you, brother.
Based on what you have read in Scriptures, if you were actually searching for a woman, what would you look for?
What I saw in Scripture made me realize that I shouldn't be searching for a woman.
Ooh.
Okay.
Dang, dog. I thought we were wrapping this thing up, and we were hour 15, and now here you're going to drop this nugget.
When Paul says a man who is married is worried about the things of this world, and a man who is unmarried is worried about the things of the Lord. I experienced that when I dated Bleep not too long ago.
Which Bleep? No, I know which one.
Red Bleep.
I know which one. Continue.
We're at this thing, and I really liked her, man. She was cool. She was funny. All the above, dude. She was cute. And we're at this thing, your dad's church. And, you know, he passed away quite a while ago now. And they were, like, looking for a new pastor forever, dude. So, finally, they have this new guy that's, like, gonna get voted in there. Yeah. And I want to talk to him. But instead, I'm sitting here talking to this girl about nothing the whole entire time. I don't even get a chance to talk to the guy. I don't get a chance to hang out with you. You're there. I'm like, this sucks, bro. Yeah. Like, I'm like confined to this thing that I don't even want in the goal of the long term getting to have sex and have kids. This ain't worth it, dude. And have my house clean. Like, I could do all that myself. Well, not have kids or have
buddy,
sex.
Buddy, it's worth it.
Okay.
Not everybody's called to being married, and that's perfectly fine, I think. I can't imagine not being married. There are things that I'm in my head. We joke a lot about how I could easily kill him and take all the life insurance money because he's allergic to cinnamon. Just slip that in there, he's gone. So, like...
It's not that bad. I ate a churro today, and I'm fine.
Anyway...
It was a foot-long churro. That's a lot of cinnamon, buddy.
There are things I think about sometimes. Like, man, if I didn't have a husband or kids, what would I be doing? I would 100% be living in the backwoods, off the land, only vegetables. I wouldn't have internet. I wouldn't have a cell phone. I would not be in this world. And I would probably be living in a different country, if I'm being honest.
She'd be like that native girl from the latest Predator movie.
That's something I really had to work through, though, because I get what you're saying. Is like, I've thought about moving out to the middle of nowhere, making a bunch of money, and doing my own thing.
No, I don't even want to make a bunch of money. I just don't want to be a part of the system, and I want to be as far away from the system as possible. But my husband, who I love and can't imagine not being with, because he is my best friend.
I was just going to say that.
And he needs internet, and he needs all of these things, and he needs meat at every meal. I don't.
I mean, if you were a hunter-gatherer, we could have meat in every meal.
So, like, there are... One day you may meet somebody that you just can't breathe without.
Maybe.
And God will have a way for that to happen. But I also don't think that it is necessary.
That was the most half-hearted maybe I've ever heard. You're like, yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Oh, me? Yeah. I struggle with lust in porn for so long that now I don't want to date. I don't want to be tempted at all with lust, because it's a distraction from the other good stuff I could be doing in the world. When I'm in a cycle of lust and watching porn, it destroys me. I can't talk to people right. I can't help people the way God is calling me to help people. I can't be a friend to people. So what's more important to me? You know what I mean? And I suck at dating anyways. I'm the least romantic guy in the world.
So here's
and
another,
I'm fat.
No, I'm just kidding. You are not fat. Here's another thing, though. God could provide healing in that, because there is something beautiful, I'm going to say it, in lusting for your spouse.
I agree.
The way that God had ordained the union to be.
Paul talks about that. He says that if you can't keep it in your pants, this is the, what is the modern translation called?
The Message.
That's
what it's called, isn't it?
Yeah, this is probably The Message, but he basically says, if you can't keep it in your pants, get married, or something like that, you know? Yeah.
But I mean, like, there is something, I mean, full disclosure, he and I waited until we got married.
I've never had sex outside of marriage, so I don't know if it's talking, I mean, it could be talking about, like, masturbation and stuff. Which I've done a lot of. Guilty.
This is mixed company.
This is the real talk part of the podcast.
My thing is, like, God provided a spouse for me, and he provided a union for me that could be beautiful if we kept to the word and if we kept Christ at the center, which we did. And I have had many conversations with others who have had multiple partners, and in their heads, it's hard not to compare partners.
Yes.
And I think that if you can be celibate and serve the Lord, that is beautiful. But do not deny the Lord the opportunity to bring someone into your life to bring you into a different sort of love relationship. Because if that's what he wants for you, it's going to happen.
I agree.
You can serve together, because that's what he and I are doing right now.
I have a pastor friend in Florida who is very adamant about, like, this scripture about, like, if you can't handle the lust, then you should be married. And he has a lot of young married couples in his church, because he's an advocate for that, like, dating just to be dating because you're young and wanting to have fun, he's like, that's not biblical. So if you're serious about it, then just get married, right?
That's a dangerous thing, though, and I think that's why we have to understand more what Paul is saying. And that is, like, if I am burning with lust, my first reaction shouldn't be to fulfill that in a way that's godly.
That's a good point.
So if I go get married with some chick that I don't really love, she doesn't really love me, we just want to have sex in a godly way, well, we're only married so we can have sex. What is the point of being married? What's the point of being one flesh? We're not even one flesh, because what is true marriage? True marriage isn't when you go get your marriage papers at the government building. It's something holy. It's a sacrament to God. It's a sacrifice to God.
My pastor buddy Jason says that the reason people get divorced, and sometimes that's actually okay, is because they were not in a right covenant to begin with.
Yeah.
And so, because some people are like, well, you entered into that covenant, so you got to just stay married. He's like, what if there are other things we make covenants with that are not of the Lord? You know, so some people just make a covenant of marriage that's not a godly covenant because they're not getting married for godly purposes.
Yeah, but what I've just a full circle, what I've realized is my friend Tanner is super good at talking about this. The desire I had wasn't a desire for sex like it felt like on the surface. It was a desire to be known and to be loved. And once I realized that, and I sought that out in Jesus, and that sounds weird to people that Jesus can love you in an intimate way, like what you expect out of sex. You know, I was talking to the guys, and I'm like, I don't feel the need for a girlfriend or a wife because I get my intimacy with everybody I meet. You know, like when I meet this homeless guy, I give him a hug and I tell him I love him.
Yeah.
I don't need to kiss him, you know? I mean, unless I was Paul.
Or
you know
give
what I mean?
Him a holy yeah. fist bump, thumb kiss.
Intimacy is something deeper and more important than having sex or yada, 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 which I'm not knocking sex. I'm sure it's great. And if you really love that person and you're having sex with them, kudos. Good to you. Good for you. But it's not everything. And that's what I realized, especially growing up in the culture we're in today. It's all about sex. How many bodies you got and how early did you lose your virginity?
So sad.
Wait till people find out I'm 47 before I lose my virginity.
Like right now, they're gonna make a movie like right about now me. I'm like, all right, we got to wrap this podcast up because we got to get Zach out of here. Tiffany's got to get to work tonight. So
yeah, we never even talked about that.
Oh yeah.
Speaking of young people having sex.
Well,
we'll have to have you on again.
Yeah,
we will. All right, I guess we're done.
No. If you've got more, I just don't think we have enough.
You kind of just derailed us right there. I mean.
No, I was making a joke about wanting to be intimate with my wife to make you feel uncomfortable. It was on purpose. And no, continue. Now that you're all weirded out, I want you to continue the podcast.
I don't know. I think the scriptures, I earnestly was seeking for the right way to find a wife or how to do it or what I should be looking for or who I should be. And what I ultimately came to was, don't get me wrong, I want a wife. There's times where I'm like, oh my gosh, I need a wife so I can stop having this lust. Because there's times where it's gone. Weeks where I don't feel lust at all. And then all of a sudden, inflamed with it. Can't sleep, tossing in my bed at night. And it's like, man, maybe I should get a wife. I get on Facebook and start looking at girls. I'm like, this is making it worse.
On Marketplace?
I like shipping girls from Thailand.
That's terrible.
Yeah. It's different now, too, I think. And maybe it used to be. I know you guys aren't that much older, but everything's like Tinder and all this nasty stuff now where it's all just.
We passed notes to each other in the hallway at school. So.
Yeah, I tell Warner all the time, like, I don't know what to do if you die, because how we got together was sending a note that said, do you think I'm cute? Circle yes or no. That would not work today.
Did he circle no or yes?
I mean, I think
he sent that to me.
That still could work.
What'd you say?
I said, of course you're cute.
Oh, that's adorable.
And then I learned about his attitude.
That's rude. That's disrespectful.
This is disrespectful. I'm sorry, sweetie.
Yeah,
I love your tude.
So I think you're right. Especially when you talk about, you know, you start feeling lustful and then you want it. Then you're like, I should get a wife.
That's not good.
Yeah, that's not what you're looking for.
Yeah, that's not healthy.
But I'm also wanting to encourage you to like, don't close the door on it because you just don't know what God's gonna do.
Dude, I just heard recently that there's 2 16-year-old girls that are interested in me. So my options are on the roof right now.
Don't go that route. I can tell you for sure, is not a good call.
Yeah, it was like your mom when she hooked me up with Matt. Oh, I'm not gonna say her name, but from Benton. I'm done with that, man. I'm done with people hooking me up. And this lady tried to hook me up with her 16-year-old granddaughter.
Do they not know how old you are?
She knows I'm 21, but I'm like, she's like,
yeah, that's no good.
She's like, back in my day, that would have been no big deal.
Yeah, well, in the 1800s, when you know women were like shucking corn and whipping mules or whatever, she would do churning butter. But that's, you know, 21 and 16. I'll go on record as saying that is no bueno.
No bueno.
Yeah. I don't care anymore, man.
Muy malo.
Muy malo. Muy. Why do you say muy?
Why do you make fun of me when
it's
I say
muy?
Muy.
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 Muy, not muy. That's muy. Yeah, you're a cow, dude. And more than, sorry.
I have one last thing that I wanted to ask you about. You mentioned that you did not think that women should be prophesying. Mm. What does that mean?
Unpack that for us.
Well, I thought specifically the verse said not to prophesy, and I think I said that before I read the verse, so I might have been wrong about that. But what is proper for women professing godliness with good works? Let a woman learn in silence with all submission, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, and then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived. Which, side note, goes into what Warner's been saying about Adam being the first one to sin, not Eve. Bogus!
That says she was the first to be deceived, and he was not deceived, but he was there with her and didn't mention the incorrect... Anyway, I digress.
I suppose women could prophesy, but it says for women to be silent.
So we're going to close this thing out with Iris, I guess, because...
Iris, yeah. Say bye to the podcast.
No, she said no. She shook her head. This... Dead air is worse than Cyrus is than Iris whining. So we're...
Well, the reason I asked very quickly is because before, if prophesying is speaking a word to somebody, or are we talking about like prophesying that something is going to happen?
Prophesying of the Holy Spirit, a gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay,
so if...
Which could be words of knowledge or, you know,
if... What would have happened if Mary didn't tell Joseph about what the angel had told her?
Well, Joseph had an angel of his own to tell him.
Okay.
Yeah, but that wasn't prophecy. I mean, yeah. it wasn't the Holy Spirit speaking through her.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I think we're stretching. I mean...
Stretching?
I think we're stretching. Bye, guys.
Well, I guess Tiffany's not going to do the sign-off with us because she's given up on that.
Because
so.
I'm better at parenting.
Yeah, so yeah. no one could hear that because our microphones are too good. So no one could hear her yelling.
She's going to go cook and clean. And I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Tiffany,
yeah, we really derailed the last part of this, but I think for the most part this was a really good episode.
Yeah, we're kind of all over the place, but, you know, a lot of distractions today. Yeah. A lot of distractions. Yeah. We're prospering, though.
It happens. These things happen. We get distractions, and we deal with them. We handle
it. Real life. Real,
yeah, it's real faith, life, real talk. Faith, real talk. Yeah.
We're trying to take it this seriously, man.
I think it was good. I think we did we discussed a lot more than I planned on discussing today, but I think that's good. And I think we'll have to have Tiffany on again, though, because I know that we've got more to say on all of this, I'm sure. And of course, we probably need to seek the scriptures and see what God's word says about it.
Yeah.
Because God's truth won't back down, and neither should you. Stay focused, stay aggressive, and above all, stay relentless for God's glory.
Amen. You're getting too smooth with that, bro.